Today's episode of the podcast is proudly brought to you by Arena Australia. Arena are the very best swimming brand in the business, whether you're after the best race suits, racing training goggles, training aids, or even team gear for your clubs. Arena Australia are the way to go. If you don't believe me, just look up on the blocks at the finals of most events at either nationals or international events, and you'll see the Arena logo front and center on the fastest swimmers' race suits. They just are the best. Head over to arenaswimming.com.au right now for all the latest sales and discounts, and let them know that Off the Block Swimming Podcast sent you.
Australia in four, the United States in five.
Off, McKenzie at the bottom, Stubbins above her, Schlanger in six, then to the yellow lane, Henry.
Clean start, Newell's got into the water quickly, but so did Joyce. The short of Germany was away well.
They'll go to the wall all together. Pick that one. Blumer, in fact, ahead of Manuel and Hirisha Menya. What a shot.
Peterson stumps her authority on another 200 breaststroke.
Now Henry is starting to come out. Henry's throwing Linton down. Linton and Henry. Henry and Linton. They hit it.
Jodie Henry of Australia shading. Jenny Thompson has taken the lead here. The Australians have only won this race once. It was with Dawn Fraser in 1956. Henry's moving away. She's going to win it for Australia. This has been a remarkable last leg. Jodie Henry is going to bring Australia home for what will be, yes, victory.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Shannon Rollison Podcast for another week. I'm your host, Robbie Cox, joined by the man himself, Mr. Shannon Rollison. Shannon, how are you, mate?
Yeah, good, Robbie. Getting ready for New South Wales State. Been pretty busy. We had Carlisle in with Chris Nesbitt and four of his guys. They've been here for the last 10 days. And on the weekend, we had Drew came down with nine breaststrokers and four coaches. And
oh, very nice.
They've done a bit of a breaststroke clinic with me for the last 4 or 5 days, so it's been all happening.
So you've been keeping busy down there, mate.
And then, last week, Lee Nugent was in, and so he popped in for a couple of days, hence why I couldn't do the podcast. And anyway.
Yeah, I mean, everyone was not happy. I was just copping abuse. Where's the podcast? I've signed up for a weekly subscription. I was just copping it from all angles, but we did miss last week. We've discussed on here. I'm sure they'll all be fine. We've discussed on here before, how busy you and I get at times, and these things pop up with different camps coming up, or Shannon's on every sort of committee and bloody all sorts of things these days too. So he's in and out of meetings and jumping on this, and he's a man in demand. And we've said that before. So that's why we're lucky to get him each week as we do. Mate, obviously football's back. Did you catch any of the foot? Did you see Vegas?
No.
You didn't see Vegas?
No.
Made me very excited to want to go on a trip to Vegas next year.
I saw a little bit. That was the first Sunday that the Carlisle guys were in, and Chris and I caught up to go through the week, and we went to the Duxton pub, and
it's not the one where the fighting happens, is it?
Nah.
Okay.
Classy
establishment, this one.
And
we don't take Chris Nesbitt to any old pub.
So while we were chatting and stuff, I think the Broncos were playing.
That's where all the controversy happened that we were discussing before we clicked record. But Vegas, it looked good. I mean, they had 40,000, which I think capacity there was 50 something, so it's not too bad considering. They had a lot of Australians travel over there, a lot of
38,000 apparently, was it?
Probably. We know that everyone always inflates those numbers up to just be a little bit bigger. I think a lot of Pommies went over as well and enjoyed it. So it definitely made me think about maybe a Vegas trip. Have you ever been to America?
Pommies?
I don't know.
Can you say Pommies?
Well, who knows? Look, some of our English friends are going to probably take offence to it, but they realise that, you know, we don't mean it that way.
Everyone's a bit touchy these days, Robbie.
I've been called a lot worse than things like that, so who knows. But have you been to Vegas?
No.
America at all?
Yeah, I've been to Delaware. Is it Delaware? Yeah. That was in what year? That would have been 05 prior to Worlds in Canada and Montreal. Yeah. So we had our camp in Miami. I think okay. We went to Delaware.
Is it Delaware?
Yeah, Delaware. That's it. And it was like this, 1800s village, and everyone talked about, and we were trying to, get them to talk about something that happened, modern times. And they were all in period. It's quite it's good.
Amish, is it?
No. It was like how it was back in 1850, Okay. So there was an Indian village, and then there was, schools. This is what the school would be like. And wherever you walked into, there were people playing a role. I think we learnt to throw an axe and all that sort of stuff. So, and then anywhere else, I haven't been to America much at all. Actually.
Well, I reckon the Shannon Rollison podcast next year
is live from Las Vegas.
Live from Las Vegas. I reckon we do it. I'll be right by that stage because we're having it. Well, we've mentioned it on the podcast before. We're having another baby, but she's due in July. So by next February. My calendar's wide open. Yeah.
Yeah, now, I've been to, where did they have, 2003, they had Jewel in the Pool, which was the very first one. And it's where the US always have their, is it Indiana, where they have their Olympic trials all the time?
Maybe.
I think it is. So, yeah, so I've been to Indiana as well.
Okay. All right, we've got to do Vegas. So I'm going to get on top of that and start looking at how we can do a bit of a junket. We'll cover something while we're over there. We'll get some benefits out of it so we can write it off on tax, but we'll find a way to get over there and we'll get into Vegas because it appealed to me. Because like you would have, do you like U2?
Yeah.
You would have watched U2 in the Sphere, in the, what do you call it? Isn't that what they call it? The Sphere? Have you seen that big thing? The big ball in Vegas?
No.
You haven't? Oh my god! I'm going to send you some stuff later. It looks fantastic. I did hear the prices were crazy, so maybe we won't be watching it from the Sphere. But Vegas. Shannon Rollison podcast from Vegas. We're going to do it. So anyway, rugby league's back. What else have we got? What about the lawn? How's the lawn going?
My lawn.
Mine. I live in a unit.
I was going to send you a photo, actually. Send it to Dave Clark.
Yeah.
It's going pretty good. So pretty happy, I reckon. This time next year, it'll be 100%.
Oh, look at
the front's 100%.
Yeah.
Where it all kicked off when I was unknowingly killing it with the wrong pesticide. So it's been a few years, isn't it?
Yeah. See, there you go. And that's a testament to your coaching, Shannon, because I think just the patience to just see it through. Trust the process. You didn't get impatient and start changing around. No, I haven't seen change quick enough.
Yeah.
You didn't change coaches midway through because you weren't seeing the progression that you were after immediately.
If it was up to my wife, we would have.
Yeah, there you go.
Give me some curry. I'm emotionally scarred for life.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of people around lately that are just getting emotionally scarred. But we talked earlier about you're about to hit the road. So New South Wales State Open Championships are on this weekend at Sydney Olympic Park. And for all our listeners that are overseas, as much as this is a state sort of championships all over the Queensland, top swimmers come down and use it as a part of their race preparation in lead up for nationals and trials. So it's always some good racing over the weekend, Shannon. You've got to be looking forward to it.
Yeah, I am actually. We've had another good block. So, yeah, these sorts of meets, it's you never really know how you guys are going to go. Sometimes they'll be training really well and they're a bit tired to race. But hopefully, you know, yesterday and today they can muster up some energy and see what the next 3 days brings. Not looking forward. Yeah, it's going to be Bedlam out there. There's a Pink concert. There's some other concert. And, oh, Athletics is out at the track as well. So it's going to be quite difficult to Saturday night, I think, is going to be the worst. But anyway, apart from that, should be good.
Talk to your mates.
I think Bowley's coming down with his guys.
Talk to your mates at N-Swiss, Shannon. You can get good spots there.
Oh, okay.
Good thinking. I know you're close with them, Ty.
Yes.
Oh, I make myself laugh. Did you say Bowley's coming?
Yeah, Bowley's coming down, and Dean's got some guys. So I haven't looked at the start list. Mm. So I'm not one of those sorts of people that ever looks at start lists, to be honest. I've got swimmers now. They're just so into it, you know. Yeah. I'm like, really? So back in the day, it's funny, isn't it? Like, I've been coaching 35 years and just little things that change. Like, I can pretty much say I don't think Jody Henry would have ever looked at a start list in your entire life. You know, I never heard from people going, oh, such and such, you know, start list. Mm. Now, oh, boy. and have you got athletes that just know everything about everybody else?
Not as much anymore. We tried to do a bit of education around that, to be honest, because that was happening for quite some time. And more so too, sometimes parents would be sort of telling you, like, you know, oh, she's in heat to, you know, lane six, and she's in the same heat as so-and-so and this one. And I was like, no, that's not good. Like, to get away from that.
Yeah.
The only reason you need to know what lane and heat you're in is just to know where to be at the right time. That is it. Yeah. Other than that, yeah, it's can be not such a great thing for the mental preparation sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you say something and, you know, sometimes I feel I may as well have just started coaching 2 years ago, you know. Like, some people listen and other people, it's like Groundhog Day.
Mm.
Anyway.
Mm.
You get tired of coaching those types of people.
Yeah, well, it happens. Do you ever think to yourself, like, what would happen if I wasn't there? Like, I've got swimmers who actually perform better when I'm not at the pool.
Yeah.
Do you find that?
That's the second time you've said that, Robbie, and I should have said something after the first time.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't say that out loud.
Well, they do. If I'm not there, they're firing. So I just think maybe I should just stay home. Do us all a favor.
Oh, God.
Doesn't mean I can't coach, because obviously they're doing well in training if they're doing PBs when I'm not there. So we're obviously doing something right. Just, I don't know, maybe this, I don't know, they just look over and
he's
they
bad
see.
Bad on race day. Is that what you're saying?
They see my big head and they're like, God damn, I want to make that man proud. Oh,
you're still at the back.
I'll just hide. Yeah. I'll come down with you. I'll just hide away so they don't know where I am. But yeah, no, I know what you mean. Sometimes, and I don't know if you'd notice this as much with senior athletes, but one of my pet hates is when you make some progression, but then all of a sudden you're at a meet 4 or 5, you know, preps in, and then we're back to step one again, where they're doing the same stuff they were doing before that we thought we'd move past. Do you ever find that in terms of like mental preparation or things like that? You're like, well, hang on. We've moved past this. How did we get back to this stage again?
Yeah. Yeah, nah. Sometimes, I suppose. But
I think Shannon wanted to say no. He was just trying to make me feel good. He was just trying to make me feel less alone in this conversation. Thanks, Shannon. I appreciate that. So how many are you bringing up?
10? Hey, H Nationals isn't far off, is it?
No, it's not. If you haven't got your tickets, you can't get them. It's all happened again, by the way.
Really?
Yeah. Well, they did another release so people could get some, which I don't get. If you've got more to release, why didn't you release them?
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, I mean, the coaches, the guys, I was really pleased to hear the guys who were on deck with me from Queensland for the last few days. Yeah, they were kicking off about how bad the medal presentation thing was last year and stuff like that. And just amazing, isn't it, how you can – you're in a industry, you know, for – like I just said, you know, I was 35 years. People have been in it longer than I have. And then people come in from other sports or other experiences and stuff and can just change the whole thing and just have no real – understanding of what they're doing, and then they move on. They go to another sport, another job. Yeah,
yeah.
Like we had a bit of a coach chat about, you know, breaststroke and just some, you know, experiences and what should you do in this situation and that situation. But what was evident was, you know, these guys are young coaches and stuff like that. They're quite frustrated about, one, that the lack of opportunity for young swimmers coming through, and two, lack of opportunity for, you know, the next generation of coaches, you know?
Mm.
So it's going to be interesting to see what unfolds after this Olympiad. Now, maybe nothing will change, but I tend to think a few things are going to need to change, because otherwise, you know, we've seen it in school teachers' profession. We've seen it, you know, with the police force. I think I even heard the army and that. They're just, and then, you know, the paramedics. Workplaces in that sort of field are really struggling to attract people into that profession, and I don't think coaching is going to be immune to it. Just in the last 10 days, the amount of times I've heard like 3 or 4 different people, maybe even more, say, you sometimes ask yourself why you do it. Yeah. And a lot of people are feeling like they've got no one backing them up. So it's going to be interesting. I'm certainly glad I'm at the back end of my career, not at the front end. You know?
Yes.
So, well, yeah.
I mean, yeah.
And teachers, you know, my wife's a teacher, so I know at first hand how it's all going on. And, if you want to be a teacher, it's free, and they still can't attract enough people.
Yeah.
And at the other end, the teachers are getting out as soon as they can. They do not want to hang around for 1 minute longer.
Yeah.
So.
Is your wife in high school or primary school?
High school.
Yeah. Oh, you couldn't pay me to be in high school.
Yeah, see, there you go.
Well, yeah. Could you? Would you want to do it? High school?
Here's a story for you.
No, those teenagers all day.
Teenagers. This is a primary school story. Yep. So I don't know the kid's name, so let's just call him Little Johnny, right?
Little Johnny.
The Little Johnny's
probably offended him because he's not too little, but now you've just made it hurt his feelings. But yeah.
Little Johnny's got a detention.
Yep.
Right, for being naughty.
Mm-hmm.
Who rocks up to do the detention so that Little Johnny can go and play with his friends? His mother did. She came to do the detention. Can you believe that? Oh, that's a goodie.
That's a good indication the world's heading in a horrible direction.
But anyway, yeah, age nationals. What are you? 4 weeks out, are you, from age?
Yeah, let me check here. We've got the calendar. So 1, 2, 3.
There you go. So yeah, so
we're nearly into landing our plane, Shannon.
They'll be in hard work at the moment, I would think, your guys and everyone that's going to age.
Yeah, well, I think everyone's in work. I think just depend. The hardest part around this time, which we've discussed on this illustrious podcast before, is just school swimming sometimes and navigating in and around that with so many different things coming up.
Which
I don't necessarily put a lot of stock in your standard school carnival, but once they start going to the higher levels and they've got big days of racing and then backing up with racing on the weekend, or this weekend's going to be a pretty big one for some of my swimmers. So just balancing that, I guess.
Yeah.
And not flogging them too much, considering they're going to have a big weekend anyway. But, yeah.
So your guys are racing this weekend?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's going to be quite a big meet. So, David Proud, I think we talked about that. He's starting, I think it's the 25th of April from memory. And I think they're in the process of, you know, I think if you wanted to be an assistant coach and I think all of that process is, I don't know if there's been any interviews, but certainly no, I've heard some names that have applied and things like that. So that'll be interesting. But I think if you want to learn a lot and develop your own career in coaching, Proudy would be a very good guy to assist to. So.
Yeah, well, absolutely. So I've been looking forward to him coming down. I think it's been a fairly long process for those assistant coaches. So if any of those are listening that have applied, fingers crossed for you guys that you get the interview soon and you get your either your number read or at least you know what you're in or you're out, because that process can be quite lengthy sometimes, can't it? Just sort of sitting around waiting on where you're heading. So hopefully that, you know, gets through. But, yeah, no, Pratt is a great coach. And not just obviously, you know, he's got his own wealth of knowledge, but just the people. One thing that I think I underestimated when I was a younger coach, which now I understand, is the people you surround yourself with, you also then start to get to communicate and surround yourself with the people they surround themselves with.
Yeah.
If that sort of makes sense. So, you know, whoever's working with Proudy is not just going to get his knowledge. They're going to absorb the people he surrounds himself with when they go to meets and all that sort of stuff, which, you know, I know of the work he did in Queensland for sure very well, and he's going to surround himself with some super smart people. So, it's a good position to be in.
It's funny. I was listening to Mark Barras talk about, you know, if you want – have a goal and it's whatever that is, you need to surround yourself with people who can get you that goal, you know? Yeah. So, I think it's environment's pretty important.
Yeah, 100%. Well, even would you say that's true also to the swimmers and the athletes?
Yeah. Absolutely. That's why you're trying to create a good environment in your program, you know. Yeah. If you've got people who are, influencing it in a negative way, then, that's going to manifest a bit, isn't it, you know. So it's pretty hard to have someone in your program who's not on board and for them to stay there. So you've got to, because it's a hard slog, isn't it?
It's funny you were saying, Shannon. Sorry, mate. It's funny you were saying before with coaches feeling like they're kind of on their own. I'll tell this story because when you said that, it resonated with me. I had I won't say names, but I had a swimmer not long ago, who wasn't able to make a certain session or whatever it was. And this is a fairly prominent swimmer within our program that's got some fairly lofty big goals and all that sort of stuff. And we make concessions here, there, and around with different things, whether it's schooling or that sort of stuff. But, you know, for the most part, we've got some big goals. So we just try and, you know, hold certain things accountable. And anyway, for whatever reason, we were going to miss a session. And I just kind of said, well, you know, we're missing a few here. Just keep an eye on that. Anyway, I got a message from a parent not long after that, basically saying, stop making her feel guilty and bad. She already feels bad. This isn't fair to her. And I thought, wait, I'm the bad person here. Well, get stuffed. That's it. I'm not doing it. I'm not. Do you know what I mean? Like here, yeah. I was trying to be supportive. I didn't get mad. I didn't say you soft so and so. You should be getting out of. Yeah. I was just trying to say, hey, look, we've got some goals. Try not to, you know, look at the decisions you're making. But all of a sudden, we're the bad guy.
Yeah.
And that when you said, you know, you sort of feel a lot, because in that instance, I was kind of like, well, if I'm the only one who's really worrying that much, then what are we doing here?
Yeah.
So that resonated with me. And I'm sure a lot of coaches kind of go through those moments where they feel like they're giving everything they've got. And maybe that's not coming back the same way.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. We've all been there many times, and that won't be your last experience of that, Robbie.
Oh, no. No, no, no. Dear man, I could be worse. We could ramp it right up. We just try and be relaxed. And anyway, let's let it go. Let it go. What were we talking about? State Open. So how many you got coming up anyway?
10, 11.
Okay.
Yep. There's 11 in my squad. It must be 11. So
story checks out. Well done, mate.
Yes, it is 11. Yeah, because of my 18 and overs, there's 10.
Okay.
That's why I was trying to guess it. I forgot my daughter.
Now, it was mentioned to me by our great mate Sander not long ago that he believes at times a lot of people go into meets potentially without a great direction in terms of what are we looking to get out of this meet? People just are turning up and racing and then going home.
Yeah.
What for you guys, what are you looking for out of this weekend's racing?
Just race execution, really, you know. Everyone has qualified for all the races they need to. Ava is, I think she's got to drop half a second to qualify for Olympic trials in the 200 IM. Mm-hmm. So apart from that, it's just a hit out. We haven't had one for 8 weeks, so we've been in a good block. There's been a gym emphasis, strength and conditioning, so there's a bit of soreness going on. So you've got to take that into account. I think, expectation-wise, I think the problem is when people have these expectations that they're going to do a PB, you know, and most of the time it's parents who just think they just don't understand.
Yeah.
And anyway, so I think you've got to be a realist. So
when you say execution, you're just looking at the start, the underwater, the breakouts, the turns,
executing
that first rate, is it? So yeah, it's not so much on the scoreboard. You're not really looking at.
Yeah, just you know, if you've been working on improving an area, then that's what you. Here's another race in the lead up to the grand final, so to speak, that you can practice it, and you know, okay, you can do it in training, but when the gun goes, can you hold your head? You know, are you getting nervous behind the blocks? All that sort of stuff. So
yeah. If you are heading out to state open championships, if you're listening to this, you're a young New South Wales swimmer. Most of the younger swimmers that go to this are from New South Wales. Make sure you get your phones out or your pens and papers and whatever, and ask some of the swimmers for their autographs or a couple of photos here and there. The swimmers are, generally speaking, from the ones I've been to in the last 5 years, tremendous with the time that they give. To the junior swimmers out there, obviously don't ask them right before their race or right after their race when they've just busted their foot valve and they're trying to suck in the big ones and they've got to go swim down. So, you know, be patient and be aware of what they're doing and when they're doing it. Sometimes I think people aren't very aware of what is happening outside of their own bubble.
Yeah.
But outside of that, I've never had a bad sort of experience with my swimmers and any of the top swimmers that come down and race at this meet. They're always very giving with their time. And as I said, Bronte has always been great like that. I remember last year my swimmers got photos with Ariane and Kyle and Kaylee and all those guys. So Shayna. So they're always willing. Just as I said, be respectful and of their time and what they've got to do. But that's always the exciting thing about this week, Shannon. I know You know, we've had big discussions about where state age, senior state age should be and what that should look like and all that sort of stuff. But the one good thing about this week and is that, you know, a lot of the Olympians do come and race here, and it gives our New South Wales swimmers, not that we don't want to develop our own big team of Olympic swimmers down here as well, but it gives our swimmers a good chance to go see these guys race, which we don't always get that opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. But it's going to be quite tough, I think. You know, it'll be a good standard. The good thing is there's B finals, so that's good. So some of the younger guys can get a second swim but they're going to need to be quite, you know, on their best times or better. So, and that in itself, if they're in hard work, is going to be easier said than done.
Yeah, well, and it's a balance this weekend too. You know, for me, I always talk to my guys about there's not a lot of expectation on our team this weekend. No one's looking at my 15-year-old going, geez, they better really aim up here against Shayna Jack.
Yeah.
Just go out and swim your race. And the only one who's watching you is me and your mum, because everyone else is watching the middle lane, no offence. Yeah. So you've got a free hit, really. You know, in cricket terms, you've got a free hit here. It's just swing and do your best and relax. So. But, you know, a lot of people do get it overawed sometimes, don't they? They walk out and this is their first heat and all of a sudden Ariane Titmus is there or something. They're like, God, oh, I'm not going to be able to race her. Well, you're not meant to. You're meant to race yourself. But in that moment, I get that thought process.
Yeah, that's right.
We saw just yesterday or the day before, Shannon, Short Course Champs was announced down in Adelaide, September. Did you see that?
No. I have been busy. But that's good. A little birdie told me that would be the case. So
yeah.
Is there dates for it yet?
I think it was like the 23rd to the 25th. I only know because that's Charlie's birthday, my daughter's birthday. So
let me write that down.
23rd. I think it was around then. Which was good. At least I think we can still get the dates out a little bit earlier than even now, but I feel like this is way earlier than last year. If you remember, we weren't sitting around saying, where are these dates? Where are these dates? And then it just popped up that it was in Sydney, fortunately for us.
Yep. Yeah, that'll be interesting.
Yeah, it's the first time in a while it's not in Sydney.
It'll be selection for Worlds, won't it?
It usually is, yeah.
Yeah. So it'll be selection for Worlds. Worlds are in December.
That's Kayla got selected off that last time, didn't she?
Yeah, Kayla made that one. That was in Melbourne. So
yeah.
That was good.
Now, the other news that's doing the rounds, Shannon, is that potentially, so I don't know if it's actually happened yet, but Malaysia might be putting their hand up for Comm Games, to host the Comm Games. Apparently there's a bit of cash incentive there for them.
Okay.
Potentially from the Royals. Who knows, Charles? Who knows what they're doing over there at the moment, the Royals? But I did read that potentially Malaysia for Comm Games. I don't know dates or anything like that, and I don't think it was confirmed, but there was a bit of a news article about that. So what's your thoughts on that? I know we've had Comm Games in Kuala Lumpur.
Yep.
Before?
1998.
What's your thoughts on that? Good thing, bad thing? I know a lot of people are trying to sort of put a knife in the poor old Comm Games and just put it out of its misery. But if there's a chance to keep it alive?
Yeah, I think everyone should be trying to get that to go ahead, you know, and if that means from a sporting point of view, you have to drop some of the sports and keep the traditional sports, then even better.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, I think it's really important to have that sort of level of meet and village experience prior to an Olympic village experience, you know. It's the only one that comes remotely close. So
did you hear much about, I don't know, you wouldn't have gone to Kuala Lumpur, would you?
I had two swimmers on that team. Yep. And Kate Godfrey won a bronze medal in the 100 butterfly behind.
But did you go?
No.
No, I didn't think so. Only because we've literally never talked about it. So I'm assuming had you gone before, we would have probably brought it up as an experience. But what, like, you know, it's obviously a different sort of a place. What sort of stories did you hear about that trip from Kuala Lumpur?
Oh, I can't remember. She swam really well. Doug Frost was looking after her. She got fourth in the 200 fly and third in the 100 fly. And I had another girl, Emily Pedrazzini, in the 800 free. So, but, you know, it was good. We were in Malaysia in the lead up to Beijing Olympics. It's pretty hot, like humid. So, you know, it's not in my top 10 holiday destinations. I don't even think it's in the top 30, to be honest. But
note to team, if it does go on and Shannon has athletes that make it, he might not be available for that trip by the sounds of it. He'll coach remotely.
At this point in time, I don't actually care almost where it is. I think it's important to have it. So
yeah.
Beggars can't be choosers. So.
Well, the other news doing the rounds is that it's almost go time in terms of Brisbane or the Queensland government deciding whether they're going to develop a whole new state-of-the-art aquatic facility for the 2032 Brisbane Games, or whether they do a drop-in pool in an already established arena-type facility. What's your thoughts on that, Shannon? Would you, if you were paying taxes up there in Queensland, if you're back up there living, would you want to see a state-of-the-art facility developed and for this one-off big event? Then obviously it'll carry on past that. And Swimming Queensland have done a good job in terms of producing talent to warrant said facility being developed and built. But as I said, you're paying money up there, you're paying your rates. Would you rather just drop in at the Brisbane Entertainment Centre or something that holds about 15 to 20,000?
Because the thing I saw was it was going to be like in Roma Street, the pool.
Oh, was it?
Right in the city near the bus station. Not the bus station, the train station. It's a tricky one. I mean, Brisbane, trying to think, when was the last pool that was built for a new pool built for that could host a big event? And I'm really trying to rack my brains here. Is it the 82 Commonwealth Games, Sleeman Sports Complex at Maybe. Chandler? Maybe. So they're a little bit overdue,
yeah,
to be honest. But I don't think a permanent pool in Roma Street is the answer either, just quietly. Like,
yeah, how does that go ongoing past? It might work for the Olympic Games, but how does that go?
Yeah, like who's going to that one? Like, who's going to train out of that?
Imagine if there's a drop-in pool at Suncorp. Imagine that. That's a big arena.
Yeah. I think the drop-in
pool. I mean, I don't think it'd work because they'd have rugby sevens and all these different things that'd be wanting to play there. I get that, but
yeah, I mean. Yeah, like you said, Boondall. It was a world champs in 2003 and in 2013 in Barcelona was in a basketball stadium. So that they work. The tennis arena in Melbourne, I wasn't a fan of. It didn't work. It was the pool was just too far away, and all the angles weren't good enough. You know, like. There's something not quite right about that. And they did a drop-in pool in the Velodrome in Berlin, which I was so excited going to a European champs, you know. And to be in Berlin, it was going to be fantastic, one of my favourite pools. And then you find out it's in the Velodrome, it's a drop-in pool. And then the walking and the stairs, it was – I can't think how many it was, but it was that many we were counting them. And we're mindful of, you know, not having to go back to the swim down pool, which was like, well, I think it was like a kilometer away. And you're walking and stairs like that. But the problem with that pool being in the middle of the velodrome, and it wasn't as bad as the Rod Laver Arena in 2007 with the tennis center, but it was, the angle was really bad. It was very, very slight. So you're in the grandstand and you're almost on pool deck level, you know. So, and the deck area was massive. So that didn't work. But a basketball stadium, they work. So, yeah, maybe Boondall. But I think Brisbane's long overdue for a complex. And, you know, whether you can have it out at Chandler and just a new stadium, there's plenty of room out there.
Yeah, well, it depends. It depends the feel and what you're after. I don't mind either. I don't also mind that sort of Coliseum type feel. That's the only reason I don't mind those drop-ins in an arena type atmosphere or a stadium.
It's close to the pool, though. Yeah. And that's what was good about Barcelona. You know, you're almost above the pool. They're really good.
Yeah, and then just for the atmosphere, because you've got to remember this is kind of that one-off event, and as you said, you know, if you're putting an aquatic center right smack in the middle of Brisbane, what's that going to look like post Olympics? And you know, I don't know, just in terms of the clientele and who you're getting in there, obviously it's going to be harder to get kids and people into training if it's in the middle of the city and all that sort of stuff. You want this aquatic center to thrive and be massive post it and ongoing, much the same as Sydney Olympic Park does. I mean, there's always plenty of people in the car park that lined up. Still shocks me to see on 45-degree days a lineup to get into an indoor pool at Sydney Olympic Park, which I do. I walk out sometimes, there's like a line around to the car park. I'm like, what are you people doing? This is an indoor pool. It's heated. Just get out of here. But anyway, it's always packed. So it's kind of what you want. You want that same post-Olympics vibe going on. So that'll be interesting. We'll see where that lands. But that's sort of the chat going around at the moment. We're past the whole move the AIS up to Brisbane. I haven't heard much more chat about that. So we'll leave that one for now. So, you know, I've got a quick question for you because obviously you mentioned nationals isn't too far away, age nationals, and it isn't for us. But for you, you know, your program has always been geared towards Olympic trials. So what does this next sort of month look like for you? I'm assuming it looks different than it would for us, like in terms of we're almost ready to start looking to land the plane, where you're a long way from that.
Yeah, we're about to take off. So, yeah, I mean, 2018, yeah, you're right. I was just about to say, oh, it hasn't always been, but, yeah, we've had two Olympic – well, this will be our second Olympic trials as a program. So, we're starting to ramp up. And so it's almost the opposite. So it was funny, the Queensland group, it was probably a 50-50 split with age groupers and open. And it might have even been 60-40, 60% age groupers. So they were in a different workload than what we are. The only age grouper in my program is my daughter, and I'm not sending her to age, not because, you know, she's above that level or anything. She certainly would be a good experience for her, but I just can't make it happen with just myself coaching. And I did it last year. It was all right, but wasn't ideal. So
did she go up the second week with you?
Yeah, she's going to go up the second week. Yeah, all her comps for the next six, well, the next three competitions are all going to be open level. So in that sense, it's, you're always sort of juggling. You've got people going to age and you've got people not going to age. So that's always a bit of a juggling mix. But this year it's just, yeah, one platform, which is nice, you know. But after an Olympics, you know, my program could look quite different next year, you know.
Yeah.
Be a lot more age orientated.
Well, I'm tipping that a lot of programs look very differently after Paris Olympics this year. I think there's going to be a bit of movement going on and coaches on the move and some swimmers on the move. So that's always an exciting time for sure. So it's interesting just to people watch for a little bit, isn't it? And see where people end up. You're like, oh, go, that person ended up there, or that coach moved on to there, or that swimmer changed programs, or
yeah. And sometimes they can, you know, the coach and the athlete just need a change because, you know, it's been 7, 8, 9 years or whatever.
Mm.
So,
and that always amuses me too, watching a coach and a swimmer do really well together, and then, as you said, just over time and the swimmer and the coaches just get a bit stale together, and they're, you know, whatever it might be, but there's a bit of a shift and they move, but the narrative is all of a sudden like the coach doesn't know how to coach anymore.
Yeah.
The coach doesn't know. So 3 years ago they knew what they were doing and all of a sudden they lost it, did they?
Yeah.
They lost it. There's always got to be a
Someone hit it and they can't find it.
Yeah. There's got to be a blame put somewhere. The answer can't just be, oh, well, these, you know, it's natural and these things happen and everyone kind of moves on and everyone's happy. Well, no, we can't all be happy. You have to take the blame on this. I've seen it with heaps of different, you know, coaches and at top levels too, right? Like, you know.
Yeah, swimmers, just immaturity, isn't it?
Yeah, swimmers go on to get massive success at high levels and all of a sudden the next one they don't quite get there, but it's the coach's fault or whatever it is. So, no, it's interesting you say that. Sometimes just change. I think the great Jack Gibson only ever stayed at teams, at clubs for 3 years and moved on. I think it was only three.
Mm.
I could be wrong on that, but I think it was only three. I think in his mind, once he'd done 3 years, whatever.
I thought he was at Parramatta for longer than that.
No, I don't think he was.
Mm.
No, I think he was literally in and out.
Hmm.
Now again, someone that goes for Parramatta, like Justin Rothwell, could be listening right now and tell me that I'm wrong.
I'm a Parramatta supporter.
Yeah, well, then maybe you should know better then. But no, I don't think it was. If I'm wrong, I'm off by maybe a year or so. But I do know he had a theory of basically once he'd sort of given his wisdom to the team and had buy-in that he could only hold that for so long, and eventually it started to break down. But then, I mean, you look at people like Wayne Bennett when he was at the Broncos for 20-something years and Bellamy now in Melbourne. I mean, they've sort of disproven that a little bit. So it's horses for courses. But, yeah, I know he always had that theory that at a certain point that relationship got a bit stale and he needed to move on, and then the players needed some new fresh sort of ideas and vibes as well.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm gonna
wrap this up in a second. So I'm gonna get on to a little topic just before we move on, because then I've got to set this song of the week up, people. It's not an easy, you know. Shannon comes up with these ideas. He just doesn't know how hard it is to execute. It's not that hard. But so this week's song of the week, Psycho Killer, Talking Heads. Now, as per usual, when I'm writing this down, Shannon says, "You heard of that one?" And as per usual, Robbie replied, "No, I've never heard of that
one." Really surprised by that. Like,
it could just be one.
Been three or four songs now. I mean, you have stuffed it up three times, but
No, I didn't. I stuffed up one, and I made up for it. I actually copped a bit of abuse for that on the pool deck. People got excited for what was it? Drop the Pilot.
Yeah.
People got excited because they heard Drop the Pilot was coming. And then all of a sudden it went into an ad with Robbie's voice. Today's episode of Off the Block Swimming Pod. And they were not happy.
I know who dropped it.
Yeah,
it wasn't Joe Namatrade.
No, it definitely was not. So Psycho Killer, Talking Heads.
Yeah.
How old does this song go back?
I think it's late 70s the band was late 70s. Definitely in the 80s.
Okay.
Just don't know if it was late or earlier. It's probably mid-80s.
All right. All right, let's set this up. For all the listeners out there, thank you very much. Have a great weekend. As I said, if you're heading off to State Open, good luck. If not, enjoy your weekend. Shannon, I'll see you soon.
Yeah, see you in a couple of hours.
See you later. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
To the facts, I'm tense and nervous and I can't relax. Can't sleep 'cause my bed's on fire. Don't touch me, I'm a real live wire. Psycho killer, qu'est-ce que c'est? Better run, run.
Today's episode of Off the Block Swimming Podcast is proudly brought to you, as always, by ProSwim Workouts. Nico and the team at ProSwim Workouts have been supporters of the podcast from day one and continue to support the show and the coaching community more broadly with their platform, ProSwimWorkouts.com. Head over to the website right now and become a member to receive all the exclusive content, whether it's programming, in and out of the water, thought-provoking articles, or even just sharing of ideas. It is a one-stop shop. And for all those just looking to browse, head over to proswimworkouts.com to find free workouts, podcast tips, jobs available, and so much more. So what are you waiting for? I'll say it one more time. Head over to proswimworkouts.com right now, and let Nico know that Off the Block sent you.